Let's ask the Lord to help us. Father, I'm just so grateful for this man, Daniel. He is so trustworthy. You could trust him with deep things of the Word 2,600 years ago, and they still haven't taken place yet. What an amazing God you are, and what an amazing man Daniel is. Will you thank him for us? Because he's challenging us today. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would be our teacher and our guide. We know some folks in the class are having some deep problems. We pray that you might meet them and bless them and heal them, and that they'd be soon back with us. Even the little doggy who's having surgery today. Oh, precious little one. Bless her, Lord. Heal her. Thank you now, Lord, as we get into the Word, that, again, you'll be our teacher. Well, the Lord tells us to bring everything to him, so I pray about my animals. Especially if they're not feeling good. Well, Daniel saw a vision that wasn't revealed to Nebuchadnezzar. He sees the last human kingdom on earth, and it would be a frightful kingdom, unlike any of the previous kingdoms. And it would even declare war on God and the saints. This is the kingdom of the Antichrist. And as I say, we'll be picking up more on him as we go along. Don't worry about it. We're here really to learn. If you want to throw tomatoes at anybody, I was thinking those seven people that all wanted to do Daniel this year.
They should be your target.
Yeah. They should be your target. Not me. I'm just struggling along like you. Oh, dear. The evil kingdom that will be destroyed when Jesus returns, and I just love to read that section, because it says, in the brightness of his coming, he'll be wiped out. It isn't any special gun or machine or anything else. He just, in the brightness of Christ, can you imagine? And but in that thing that I handed out to you, that comes from Audrey Koble. It was drawn in 1916. And down on the right-hand side, I don't have it up here, but down on the right-hand side, oh, thanks. You see that stone that's coming off that mountain? That's the Stone of Judgment. And, of course, we know that to be the rock is the Lord. But I thought this map that you have is very good because it's very accurate. And it's helpful. And for him to make it so long ago, and it has remained accurate, means it's based on the Word of God. And only the Word could change it. So that tumbled down the mountain and destroyed the image, and that would be the 10 toes arrangement. And last week we learned that the horns represent rulers or kingdoms or governors or presidents, but somebody with authority. And it seems like an odd word for us because we don't look at people like that. We give them a title. And remember I gave you Moses over there, Peter and Paul's church in chains, I think it is, where there's Moses is sitting and he has two big horns. And Michelangelo did that to show us that he was a person of authority. And but it's odd to us. Okay, and the rulers here would be down to the 10 toes. And your other map shows you Europe under the Roman Empire. A lot of countries, and we know today the United Europe, or we could call it the United States of Europe, is far more than 10 nations. But sometimes those things happen, something happens overnight and can change all that. So the Lord reminds us to be ready for his return. And that confederation of 10 nations will some way be an extension of the Roman Empire. The Antichrist will come out of this, and it will be the final kingdom. Yahoo! We don't have to study any more kingdoms. Because he will actively oppose God and his people. But isn't it odd that it doesn't talk about a big horn, it talks about a little horn. And you would think somebody so important as the Antichrist would be a big cheese, you know. But he's a little horn. And there's real meaning behind that. As we go along, we'll pick up more of this. But he's small because he starts small. He comes up kind of behind your back, so to speak. And he makes great progress. And for me, I think it's fun to read about all the things that he can do and how people follow him. But not to be fearful, we belong to the Lord. Well, that final world leader will be a counterfeit Christ. That just simply means he'll be against Christ. He'll be an enemy of the Lord. And we pick these things up more as we go along in John. We pick it up in Matthew 24. I would encourage you to read that. Revelations, Thessalonians. Anyway, we pick it up more as we go along. And those are good books to read, especially Matthew 24, because the Lord quotes Daniel. And he says, he talks about the abomination of desolation. And you say, what is that? Well, we'll find out next week's lesson? Partly. So, again, don't be afraid of these lessons. We're all learning together. And I like the portion out of 2 Thessalonians. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day, judgment, will not come unless the falling away comes first. I believe that's the rapture. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God and showing himself that he is God. Yeah, right. So, do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know that what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he's taken out of the way. I believe that's the Holy Spirit in the church. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth. Yahoo! And destroy with the brightness of his coming. There it is. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan and with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth. Now, that wouldn't happen in here because you guys really love the truth and you want to learn more. And the Lord's our teacher.
Where were you just?
Oh, I'm sorry, 2 Thessalonians 2, 3 through 12. And for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Boy, don't you know people like that today? It's I was reading the other morning in Leviticus 26 talks about this man who was an Egyptian. He was married to an Israeli, an Israelite, and he used the Lord's name in vain, and they took him out and said everybody that heard him use the Lord's name in vain had to stone him to death. And I thought, oh, we've gotten so far away from that. It's just popular thing to use the Lord's name. So the people will follow him. He will become the ruler of the world. He will control the economy. He'll control religion. He'll have a false prophet working right along with him. And he'll seek to change the times and the laws. Now, I don't have any trouble with that, because one of the things Hitler wanted to do with the final solution was to get rid of the Ten Commandments. If he killed off every Jew, there wouldn't be any more Ten Commandments. And besides the fact that they represented God and Satan was behind it and da-da-da, but still, and it's still true here, religion will seek to elevate the Antichrist, not the Lord. And then in Daniel 7:25 and Revelation 13:5, his dictatorship will last 3.5 years. And we're going to get into things like time, time and a half, and a time. And my math's never been too good. So we'll struggle through that one. But Daniel's the one that gives us that. It's so significant in regards to Jesus Christ that it's so worth reading and studying. So, well, ahead, Antichrist will make a covenant with the Jewish nation for 7 years. But in the middle of that 7 years, he'll break the covenant and begin to persecute God's people. Anyway, we'll go on. The Antichrist will overcome three other nations in order to get his leading and his way. And that would go back to those 10 toes. That will represent 10 nations. He'll overcome three of them in order to take charge. This will come about with the help of Satan as he moves in to become a world dictator. At first, he'll appear friendly to the Jews. He'll sign a covenant, a 7-year covenant with them, and say, "We're going to protect you." And I think the Jews are going to think, "This is our Messiah." Oh, oh. But halfway through, things become quite difficult. And they'll think, "Uh-oh, we got the wrong guy." So this is the period called the Great Tribulation. And remember when we studied Revelation, we got into all of that. It's going to be a bad time on earth. And the second half is known as the wrath of God. That's why I believe we won't be here, because God is not going to pour out his wrath on his children. He will take us out of the way because we're in the way. And Antichrist will break the covenant and set up his own image in the Jewish temple. You know, and this image is going to be able to talk and do miracles. And the people are going to say, "Whoa!" But then you get back to the false prophet, and he's going to force the world to worship him. And of course, the devil is energizing him. Using Daniel's language, Jesus called this the abomination of desolation. That's in Matthew 24, I think, maybe verse 16. In other references, this signal, the last half of the Great Tribulation, is known as the wrath of God. Remember that. It will all climax with the return of Jesus Christ to earth. And I believe that we believers, children of the Lord, will return with him. There are all verses to back that up. I don't say that off the top of my head. So, Jesus Christ will then establish his kingdom on earth, as he promised. You know, John in Revelation gives us so much more details. We had those when we studied the book of Revelation, and it's hard not to dip in there all the time. But Daniel does a good job here. But I can see why he was sick afterwards. Hang on a sec. I don't want to ruin my implants. Anyway, And then, of course, we had it in 2 Thessalonians and Daniel 7. It just kind of opens the door, and you say, well, I don't understand it. Well, that's all right. You can put in, I don't know.
Good.
And, you know, I can still remember when I was back in college that that sometimes was the way I felt. I don't know. And do you know that every one of those I do not knows, I learned something off of them. And the rest of the tests, I wouldn't be able to tell you anything about them. But anyway, it goes on to talk about saints are mentioned in several places here in chapter 7. Refers to the people of God living on the earth during the tribulation period. Now, I think most of these people are going to be Jews because of the 144,000. But I imagine anybody that turns to the Lord will be a part of that. So that could be Gentiles too. We can't just draw a line. I believe the church is raptured before the tribulation. And there'll be Jews and Gentiles who believe Jesus Christ after the church departs. I don't know how many, but I would hope they'd get it right and not look at that statue that's talking and doing miracles and all kinds of crazy things. Some of them will die for their faith, and some of them won't. And then I ask that question in your lesson, why is that the way it works? I don't know. I really don't know why he would take some into the tribulation and die from it and others not. Only God knows what he's doing there and what's behind it. I know when we suffer, it's for our best because it refines us. But whether that's the issue here or not, I don't know. Those that got beheaded by ISIS, that was a tough deal, but they didn't skip any. They got them all. And of course, the word saints, is that, what does that mean? That simply means that we who belong to Jesus Christ are his saints. We're his holy ones. Oh, Liz, you'll never be a saint. Well, I know that. I am only a saint because I stand in Christ's blood, period. And I'm grateful for it. Well, three of the scriptures in Daniel describe saints who are victorious and others that aren't. So I'll let you decide why he permits some to be defeated and others not. But the saints receive the kingdom. Please note, they don't take it. They don't possess it. They're given it. As I was thinking about that, the kingdom of the Lord's is his, and he's going to give it to us. Isn't that an astounding factor? Oh, my. This is the work of the Most High. He permits the Antichrist to rise to power and rule the world, even allows them to make war on the saints and temporarily win the victory. The phrase, wear out the saints, is such an excellent one because I think he will wear out the saints. He'll keep telling them how foolish they are and what a dumb thing to believe in Jesus Christ, etc. And I think that's a kind of a tough situation. Well, I came across this in John MacArthur's something I was reading, and it was a brand new thought to me, so I thought I'd share it with you. And it says, and the little horn, or Antichrist, anything that rises out of the earth is earthly and therefore corrupt and subject to death. The earth groans. Remember we had this in Romans? The earth groans in longing for a kingdom that descends from heaven, which will be holy and righteous and eternal. That kingdom is coming. I remember when we were hiking a couple of years ago, there was this enormous tree, and it was probably about 200 feet tall. It didn't have a pine needle on it. It was dead all the way through. And I thought, what's going to happen? Well, it took 2 years for it to fall over and it had been totally eaten by beetles. And I thought, how sad that all of Earth is cursed. But then it goes right back to the garden, doesn't it? Well, the same horn was making, just remember this, same horn was making war against the saints. God will permit the Antichrist to wage a great war against the saints, and he'll even be allowed to prevail for a season. But his wickedness will only further God's sovereign purposes. And then we pick up that he'll devour the whole earth. The fourth and final human kingdom will be a worldwide order. The Lord showed Daniel that a unified world government will one day rule the earth, but it will be actually trampled on and break in pieces. How is that possible? Well, it's possible if you read the latter part of the book of Revelation, because God is going to pour out his wrath on this earth, and it's going to be quite destroyed. In fact, I thought maybe that's what we might be doing during the post-tribulation, is that we might have to clean up the earth. I don't know. I just, my mind goes nuts, as you can know from the lessons. But and then he intends to change the times and the law. You'll see he'll get rid of everything that pertains to Jesus Christ, which would be Christmas and Easter and anything else that's a church holiday. And some of the laws, I'm sure he'll change some of the laws to make it a lot easier on him. And I don't like that idea, but that's God's under... It's under God's control, and he's not going to take it any further than he has to. And then that time and half a time, we'll be picking that up later, so I won't get into that. But remember, they shall take away his dominion. That was part of your memory verse this week. And I hope you said, yahoo, they're going to take away his dominion. But the final rule of the Antichrist will ultimately be no different from any other human kingdom in the sense that God will permit it. Its authority for a time and then revoke it. He's going to act fast because he knows his time is short. But no power on earth or in heaven can stand against God's sovereign will. That's all in God's keeping. But the world is deceived. The Antichrist and his false prophet will deceive the whole world into worshiping Satan. Those who refuse will suffer for it. Well, he'll be quite an amazing person. And you know, if you're not building your faith with your heart and the Word of God, if you're building your faith by eyesight, you're kind of going in the wrong direction, because our eyes deceive us. Because the whole world will marvel at this Antichrist. The world will be astounded and fascinated when that Antichrist appears to rise from the dead. His charisma, his brilliance, and his attractive powers, he'll cause the world to follow him unquestionably. So you think, oh, but it gets back down to loving the truth. Do you love the truth? Do you want to know more about the truth of God's word? Isn't it amazing that something he wrote or gave to Daniel 2,600 years ago is now something that we're studying today? Well, they all marveled. But the Lord established the limits for the Antichrist, and he can only work so far. It's, but the key to this, and the most important thing, is that you're in the Book of Life. It's someplace along the line you've knelt before the Lord and told him that you want to be his child and ask him to forgive you and make you his child. And then you find out that your name is written in the Book of Life. Because when the books are open, I trust your name will be there. Those whose names are not there will worship the Antichrist. That's a bad deal. I found something in Warren Wiersbe's little commentary. Well, it's a rather large commentary. I or I bring it with me. But this is so important. How did Daniel respond to this great revelation? He was deeply troubled and his face turned pale. But he didn't tell anyone what the Lord had shown him. We shall learn in later chapters that after he had received a vision from the Lord, Daniel often became ill and was unable to work. This is quite unlike some prophetic students today who, when they think they've discovered a great truth, go on radio and television and tell everybody that they think they know, what they think they know. And I lived through that back in the 60s. That was done all the time. In fact, television became the big way. And the Lord was going to come tomorrow, and if you weren't ready, it was just all this stuff. And this one fella, he wrote a book, and he was pushing his book. Turned out he'd been married 4 times. And but he's still making money on it, and he's still on TV. It's troublesome. Anyway, we're not great Bible students. I am not a great Bible student. I'm still having to call my son and say, what does this mean? they haven't discovered any great new truth, but they've taken something and run with it. A dangerous thing to study prophecy just to satisfy our curiosity or to give people the impression that we're great Bible students. If divine truth doesn't touch our own hearts and affect our conduct, then our Bible study is only an intellectual exercise to inflate our own ego. That's real serious. So when you read about prophecy, don't get all nervous about it. And you can tell the Lord you don't understand it. And what can you understand? And ask him to speak to your heart. He's very good about wanting to teach us. And just remember Daniel, especially when we get down to the last chapter, he really gets sick. And you can imagine 2,600 years ago seeing what would be going on today or in the future. It must have just upset him tremendously. I had a question come in last week about Babylon, and I had to rethink when we studied Revelation, that the question was, why are we back to Babylon? I just love to say, I don't know. Two-pronged thing in the end times where Babylon will be a system, the great harlot, and you won't be able to buy or sell without his number on you. It's going to be rather tough business. It also may be having to do with something of the place, which would be Iraq today for us. Now what? I don't know. But I've always thought of this as being twofold. One is, of course, a system, and the other is a place. So I'll let you figure that out. Okay, let's ask the Lord to bless us this week. Father, again, we thank you for the rain. You've certainly answered our prayers and brought it in buckets. And we're grateful that the hills are all turning green and spring must be around the corner. Thank you, Lord. It's not this life only. How miserable we would be. But the best is yet to come. And the thought of us being together and working before you and loving and worshiping you is a reality that's mind-blowing. And the thought of no more evil, no more sin, no more murders or all the other things that we get so involved in, that will be beautiful, Lord, when it's all done. And to think that you died on the cross for us is astounding, just astounding. We want to praise you and thank you. And help us this week, Lord, with this next lesson, not to be overwhelmed by it, but to just plod along, and we'll just give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.